Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So for those of you not listening at 11:59 yesterday morning, here is how we ended yesterday's final segment of the show about the MTA holding an online public forum about a fare hike. And they are having their only online public forum about this that begins in exactly a minute and a half. So again, folks, you have a choice. You can go to their convenient web address, which is www.gotomeeting.com/register/480890165, or you can go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and we will link you right through if you want to comment about the fare to the MTA. So that was yesterday. Let's pick up right where we left off. First, an apology to the MTA. It turns out there was a button right on their homepage to get you to that online forum known as a public engagement webinar, so that convoluted address that I gave was not the only way to get there. Sorry to poke fun where it was not warranted. But as it turns out, the webinar had a slightly bigger problem, as many of you emphatically reported back yesterday afternoon. Most people who tried to join the MTA webinar could not actually see the site. The MTA has apologized for what it calls some technological difficulties, and one of those who could not swipe through the virtual turnstile was New York Times City Room blogger Sewell Chan, who dutifully got to the bottom of it and joins us now. And then we'll talk to the CEO and president of the MTA, Lee Sander, about the fare hike proposal itself. Hi, Sewell. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. What happened to you at the public engagement webinar?
Well, I went to the MTA website and I clicked on the badge for the public engagement webinar. I blogged for the New York Times on City Room, and I wanted to see what kinds of questions readers and viewers of the website were asking. And I clicked on it, and I followed all the instructions. I entered my name and email address, and I even identified myself as a New York Times reporter, because we're always transparent about that. And nothing happened, really. I did not get an 800 number to call in. There was a little chat box that showed up where my questions were showing up, but there were absolutely no answers. And so finally I typed, "Hello? Is anyone there?" And I didn't get a response to that either.
How did you follow up?
Well, being a reporter, I called the MTA press office and tried to figure out what was going on there. I waited a little bit of time because I had some other work to do, and the MTA ultimately told me that there had been technical problems experienced by many of the users. In fact, I was told that hundreds of people, really, if not more, had, like me, had questions for the MTA that did not get an answer. I did call the company in California that runs GoToMeeting, which is the web-based platform, the software that runs these webinars, these online Q&A.
Right. Is that the name of the company, GoToMeeting.com?
Well, GoToMeeting is a trade name. The company is actually Citrix Online.
Uh-huh.
It's a division of Citrix Systems of Santa Barbara, California.
Is that who blew it?
Pardon?
Is that who blew it?
Well, let me read to you their email to me from last night, and this is all I have from them. This is from Ann Bailey, Senior Manager for Public Relations at Citrix. "Mr. Chan, I appreciate your contacting me today. We are gathering the facts so that we may give you an accurate response to your inquiry. Either I or one of my colleagues will be contacting you tomorrow. Thank you very much for the opportunity to respond." So, unfortunately, I have not yet gotten to the bottom of what caused this, but perhaps Lee Sander can shed some light on it.
And we're going to go to Lee Sander in just a minute, but were you told about how the MTA is following up and trying to make good to all those people who tried to comment on the fare hike proposal?
Well, the MTA, yeah, said that they later on sent out an email, apparently. I did not receive it, but apparently many people who had signed up for the webinar got an email saying that indeed some of them were able to get their questions answered. You know, I'd like to make a broader point, Brian. I think from almost everyone I've heard, what the MTA is trying to do in terms of increasing the openness and transparency of the process, especially on a contentious issue like the fare hike, is really, you know, something to be applauded. And so, you know, it's unfortunate that the technical, you know, aspects didn't work, but I think, you know, a lot of people would have liked it to.
And there was no sick passenger, there was no police activity causing the unavoidable delay.
I don't believe there was.
Just a software glitch. But I felt responsible to our listeners, since we were trying to basically funnel anybody who wanted to go into this MTA webinar at the end of the show yesterday, since it was starting just as we were ending. I felt responsible to our listeners, since most of them couldn't have any experience there at all, as it turned out, to follow up with you and talk about that. So Sewell Chan, who blogs for the New York Times City Room at nytimes.com, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you.
And with us now is the CEO of the MTA, Lee Sander. Mr. Sander, thanks a lot for coming on. Oh, did he? Okay, we had Lee Sander and we lost our line to him. So we're going to talk to Lee Sander as soon as he gets back here in a couple of seconds about the fare hike itself. Primarily, if you haven't heard, the latest fare hike proposal from the MTA will be voted on December 19th. That's D-Day after all these months of discussion and debate and the daily news crusading and all of that. So we'll talk about that now with Lee Sander, CEO of the MTA. Welcome back to WNYC, Mr. Sander. Good morning.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Good, thank you. So just briefly on the webinar, anything to add to what Sewell had to say?
I'm not sure this goes in the category of no good deed goes unpunished.
Right.
But apologies, Brian, to you. Thank you for encouraging people to participate in it. We're deeply sorry that it occurred. Was a third party, the vendor that Sewell was just referring to, and I'm a big fan of Sewell's, and good to hear that he was on this and so forth. We did have a lot of people who were trying to participate. We did have, the count that I got yesterday was about 700 calls and messages. I was able to respond to them, but the slides that we were presenting, certainly one could not see, and some people certainly were not able to post their comments. So it was a good experience as a beginning. We're going to do it again. We're going to get right technically, and again apologize to all. I think more importantly, or as importantly, as Sewell said, we are trying really hard to have the MTA be a model of transparency, to communicate more clearly with the public. So whether it's this, the workshop that was very successful on the November 17th, trying to display the models for the Hudson Yards, which was an unprecedented move on our part, the customer report cards, we definitely, as Sewell said, are committed to trying to be a model in terms of public access and explaining what we do. We're not this big bad bureaucracy that I think people perceive us to be.
And I'm intrigued by the appointment of a manager for each line on the subway. But you know that the metaphor of the MTA inviting public comment on the fare hike, but then having it be meaningless, is just too juicy for people not to try on, because politicians are complaining that you've had these various public forums, virtual and in person, but went ahead with your fare hike proposal despite overwhelming opposition.
Well, a couple of points there that you made, Brian. First, the fact of the matter is that we did do a lot of listening through the public hearings, through the workshop, through other meetings that we've had, and we have changed and made modifications as a result of it. I know there's a certain amount of disbelief, that was the case, but I'm not sure we would have had the 14-day fare media were that not the case.
14, in other words, there's going to be a two-week Metro card.
Correct. And that's a function of some of the input. I think our focus on the base fare and trying to have a more progressive fare structure. I mean, it is a fare and toll increase, no question about it. But I think that reflected public input. So there's this first issue about whether we're listening to the off-peak peak scenario that we put out there. We can that in large part because the feedback we got from the public was not very strong.
You were going to charge less to ride at off-peak hours. But
that was one of the two options,
it.
And
yeah.
So we canned that one because the public didn't like it very much, had the public came out in strong support for it, I think we would have done that.
Yeah, people care about rush hours the most.
But in terms of the second point that you're making, Brian, in terms of too juicy a target and doing this at the end, next time if and when we do this, we'll probably improve a little bit more on the timing. These are new things that we're trying to do. And, if we had to do it over again, aside from having it be more technically successful in terms of the webinar, we probably would not have it done on the day that we, put out the final statement.
Oh,
but
by
it's
the
not
way.
As if the MTA has not been taking lots of input and reacting to it.
MTA CEO Lee Sander, my guest on WNYC. And on the nature of the latest proposed hike, the 30-day MetroCard now, if this goes through, will have gone up from $60 to $81 in just
$76, Brian.
Well, no, right now,
right.
$5 increase. Didn't it start at 60 a few years ago?
I don't have, you know, I can't go back in terms of, you know, where it was in 2003 and 2005.
Yeah, I think that's what was the original price. And so it would have gone up by 30% much faster than inflation in a relative few years.
Not sure that that's accurate. I haven't seen, you know, that. I mean, basically, in the data that I've seen, it's been keeping us even at the level of inflation in terms of the overall yield of 6.5%. That's for all, you know, the total revenue that we would get from all of these in terms of specifically the unlimited cards that may be. But the counterpoint to that, Brian, is that the average fare that people pay for when they use this is less than $1.30. And so I think it's important to say this is like the biggest discounted card that exists. It's also responsible for a lot of the increase in mobility that we've had in New York. We have, you know, a breathtaking increase in ridership, which is terrific. I think, you know, certainly overall the revenue yield has been at the level of inflation. And now with having reduced the proposed fare increase from 6.5% to 3.85%, you know, that's a significant reduction.
And one of the most unpopular things about the new idea that we were getting yesterday from listeners was these discounts on per ride MetroCard used to be, or currently is, if you buy $10 worth, you get another $2 worth. That's, you know, exactly one extra ride per $10. Now they wouldn't be even, so you can wind up with a fraction of a ride left on your MetroCard, 55 cents, whatever it is, which might be money down the drain if a lot of people throw away the cards.
I hope people, you know, don't throw away the cards, but, you know, sometimes when you're trying to hit a couple of different targets, at the same time, you have things like that, so it's not perfect. So, you know, we certainly encourage our strap hangers to hold onto their cards and use all the value that is there. We are, you know, trying to give as much value to our customers as we can. Again, you know, what we were trying to do is have a more progressive fare structure, and now for people who did not have the $10, they can buy in at $7. And they will then be getting a discount.
Right. But they better remember, if this goes through, not to throw away the MetroCard when it says insufficient fare, but to see how much is actually left on there and refill it. But we just have a couple of minutes, but some local politicians and the Daily News have been the ones leading the charge to oppose a fare hike at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that you're being subject to pandering politicians and a crusading Daily News that knows that its readership is your ridership?
And my good friend, who is really a friend, Gene Rushinoff, you know, who's, you know, very aggressive transit advocate. Look, I think there are a couple of things to say, you know, briefly about this. One, I don't expect when one proposes to increase fares and tolls, you know, for it to be popular. It is not surprising that it can become a really, you know, a political cause. There are ways in which, you know, this issue can be used in the public forum. On the other hand, I am pleased that it has raised the issue of transit funding by Albany. There's no question that Albany, you know, dramatically cut funding over the last 12 years to the MTA. I've just been trying to move the debate to have that money come to us to expand and modernize our capital program, and for Albany to give me a boatload of money in 2010 when, you know, we have spent down our surpluses. So is there pandering? I think some people might say that there is. Are we being used in certain ways? Yes. So long as the MTA and the people that we serve, the region that we serve, comes out at the end of the day in a positive way at the end of the next legislative session in Albany, then I don't care if I'm used at all.
Well, I'm glad you raised the legislative session and money from the state, because here's the way I see it at this point, and I'll give you the last word. The main goal of the Stop the Fare Hike movement is simply to delay a decision until March or so, when Albany has to pass a larger transportation bill, including congestion pricing. And I tend to think they're right on this point, because that's when lawmakers can debate how much more public financing to provide than in the Pataki era. And the fare hike should be based on that outcome, not to assume the limits of that in advance. So why doesn't it make sense to do this after, not before, the state budget debate?
The reason for that is, our concern is that the debate would be to give us money on the operating side to keep fares and tolls down. And, given the fact that Albany is facing a $4.3 billion deficit, given the fact that the mayor is saying the city is now having similar financial problems, my concern is that Albany would give us operating aid to keep the fares and tolls down, as compared to the $5 to $10 billion that we need desperately, that we haven't had in the past, to expand and modernize the system, to modernize our signal system, to do things like the Second Avenue subway, additional segments of Second Avenue, to do the third track project in Nassau County, things like that. If we were to wait till April 15th, given the history of Albany, there's a real chance that there could be a real deadlock. Then it would spin out of control. We would, by waiting, it will cost us in the neighborhood of, $20 million a month. And so there are a variety of reasons why, we did not encourage that. If it was clear that April 15th we would have the money for our capital program and money to have, keep fares and tolls down, I would have agreed to it. I always said it. It's not like I don't want to keep fares and tolls down, but I always said to Albany, I need to have the money for the capital program, and if we can at the same time keep fares and tolls down, that would be great. No one came forward in Albany with a realistic agenda about how they would really accomplish that financially. A lot of rhetoric. But in the private conversations that I would have with some of the players, that are out there in the Daily News and elsewhere, no one said, yes, this is a tax, this is a revenue source that we're going to figure out to give you the $500 million you need annually for your capital program and the $200 million that would keep fares and tolls down.
CEO and President of the MTA, Lee Sander, thanks a lot for coming on with us.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up, choose your poison at Kennedy Airport. More flight delays or fewer flights. Stay tuned.